And now I'd like to welcome to the program Robert Knott, Matt Sanford, and Megan Burns. We're here to talk about a play by the inevitable and inimitable Robert Knott called There's No Place Like Homicide. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks.
Hey, welcome.
It's great to have you guys back on the show, all of you regulars. So There's No Place Like Homicide. This is a play that you wrote a while back. Is that right, Robert?
It's an oldie but a goodie. It's one of my older plays. Actually, I did it on a word processor, which is why we only have a hard print copy. It's my only play not on computer. So, and I love it. It's a little film noir spoof with a dark edge. Six character cast. It's early in the morning. And Megan and Matt, who've worked with me, Megan the longest, are both terrific in the piece. And we did it in glorious black and white and gray with a little touch of color just to show people that there's some life to it. And it's at Warehouse 21, and we're urging people to come see what they think of it.
A play in black and white and gray?
Yeah, it was a sort of concept that we had early on to really kind of mimic the feel of old 40s film noir movies, and so the whole theme, all the costumes, all the set pieces were all in black and white. We were even going to go so far as to even do black and white makeup, but we couldn't quite land our hands on any. So.
That's tricky, to paint people's faces and not have them look like ghosts or rather diseased people.
Right, yeah, we were trying to stay away from the cadaver look.
Right, so, exactly. So you, Matt, are directing it or co-directing it with Robert. How does that work?
With Robert, yeah, it's been a cool process for the both of us. You know, we come in and it's nice working with the cast, especially just the way that it's written, is that we can really focus on one scene with two characters at a time. And basically, what will happen in rehearsal is Robert will say, do this, and then he leaves the room, and then I say, no, don't do that. And that's basically the extent of our
We communicate really well. And Megan doesn't get enough credit because she's in these shows and doesn't ever get a director credit, but she's continually pointing out really good points that Matt and me take on because I think she's comfortable with the collaboration at this point. It's now her like seventh show with me at Warehouse, so
yeah.
She's a director in her own right over at Performing Arts.
What's your role in the play, Megan?
I play Gingerbread. I'm the damsel in distress.
You're the damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
And the way these things are written, they're so, like, I guess sort of Robert Knott style slapstick and quick-witted wordplay and things like that, but using all those kinds of 40s tropes.
It's very much, don't you think, a piece, it seems like a piece from the 40s, yeah?
It does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It borrows from a lot of different styles, not just film noir, but, you know, a lot of the comedic styles of that era.
Right.
As well.
Right.
So. It is really funny.
And, I mean, given you two have worked with me so often, what are some of the movies you looked at, like, to inspire you?
I watched Murder, My Sweet, and The Maltese Falcon, and there was one other one that you recommended.
Oh, the Vertigo with Kim Novak.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Vertigo, man.
Because you have a Kim Novak. She's not wearing her hairstyle right now. She's wearing her, we just woke up and realized we had to be here at 8:10 hairstyle, which is the same hairstyle Matt and me have on, by the way.
Yeah, but I have a hat.
Matt's wearing a hat. What about the comedic? Or what inspirations for that part of it?
For me personally, and I mean, I go back to it all the time, is the Marx Brothers. It's just like a huge influence, not just on my on these shows, but just on me as a person. I love old comedy, and you know, a lot more of the physical stuff, like old Harold Lloyd movies and, you know, Buster Keaton, stuff like that is always an easy go-to for when we're working on these sort of things.
And Matt came up with a couple of good, really physical gags that are working really well in the play. And there's definitely an Abbott and Costello inspired routine in there,
mm-hmm.
With some wordplay between two of the characters. And it's funny, you know, Megan is really perfect for like these 1940s type femme fatale roles. Like I could see her playing in those pictures opposite the Three Stooges, getting the pie in her face, and you know they always had like a
wait,
beautiful
how is that
blonde.
A femme fatale role?
Well, comedic femme fatale, so.
Do you, I mean, Robert Knott seems to be some just fascinating mixture of Sam Spade and Groucho Marx. But what about you guys? Do you also identify with that period somehow?
I just started watching stuff for this play particularly, so I can't really answer that well because I don't really know a lot of them. So no, I wouldn't say that I do.
You've just been hanging out with this guy.
Exactly.
So this play is at Warehouse 21, is that correct? And
yep,
yesterday was the opening night.
It was. We had a really good opening Pay What You Wish crowd last night. Mm-hmm. We have a Pay What You Wish matinee next Sunday. Otherwise, I think it's very affordable, cheaper for teens. 7:30 p.m. show, 989-4423. And it's running through next weekend, and we're having fun with it. And as always, we just want people to come take a look, make of it what they will. But you have to be in the mood, I think, to laugh and be silly. And it's a little darker than some of the works we did. It's not the crazy sword fight we had last year in Corsica with Dead Man's Jest. And the cast is first-rate. Ryan Cochevar, who you've had on the show, is our lead
actor.
He's
very good.
He is. And Matt plays Dr. Haha, the head of a psycho institute.
It's nice to be playing the villain again.
Yeah. You like playing a villain?
Oh, yeah. There's a point in time where I was only getting cast as villains. And
me
I think
too.
It wasn't until I was working when I started working with you that I started playing the hero.
What about you and all the shows you've done for me?
It's been a pretty... I think I've played mostly villains. Why do you write women characters as mostly villains?
I do.
Yeah, when they're usually so good.
Would you say Raina's a villain? There we go again. Megan likes to give me the screech.
No, there's usually one female villain and one female heroine.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't I average that out with the men?
I guess so.
And this is the thing, they can both give me this kind of grief, and they generally do in rehearsal, so.
Robert Knott, was this something that you produced, many years ago?
It's been done a lot of times, not just by me, I'm happy to say. It was done first in Santa Fe in 1992, shortly after I moved here. And the only actor in town connected to it that's still here is Chris Leslie, who played a big thug called Johnny Angel. And then we did it in Warehouse as our initial show in 02. That was my first play there with Ryan Miera as the lead. And I wanted to revive it for a lot of reasons. We were looking for an easy to put together, small cast, one set, frankly inexpensive show. And I'm always happy to say Warehouse 21 pays all its performers something, which is very nice.
That's great.
And this was seemed to be the thing to do. And it was the only play I did at Warehouse that honestly wasn't commercially successful, because it was the first show I did there. It was Warehouse's first show. And to do it with a new cast, a new twist, a new co-director, and see how it works today just seemed exciting. It was done last autumn up in Seattle while we were doing Dead Man's Jest. I couldn't actually go see it. I was really happy about that. And I just love it. It's just a crazy, dark play that I can't even understand all of it. What do you make of it?
What do you mean you can't understand all of it? Didn't you write it?
Yeah, but playwrights don't always know what the hell they're
doing. That's right. They're channeling it from another source.
Right, out from the ether.
Oh. Ether.
How do you get a play out there so that it's produced in Seattle? How did that happen?
In that particular case, one of the actors that was in it in Santa Fe 20 years ago tipped off this company, and that's happened with this play more than any of my works. And I did a little rewriting of the last scene for this play, which is one reason I didn't give you that scene when I gave you a copy of the script. And I think it's a better, tighter play as a result of that. It's been really interesting to watch these actors bring a whole different spin to all the characters, and it is very different from any other production I've seen or been involved with. A couple of the routines are similar, but they're just bringing all their individual style, and I know I can trust Matt and Megan because of all the years we've worked together, and I also know they'll be honest with me if something's not working, and they speak up generally. So why they keep coming back for more is beyond me.
The play is There's No Place Like Homicide, written by Robert Knott, co-directed by Robert Knott and Matt Sanford, and starring, among others, Megan Burns.
Yay.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here.
There's only one lady.
Thank you.
There's two ladies, including you.
Okay, lady and gentleman.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Is that the first time you've ever corrected my English?
Warehouse 21, 7:30 tonight. Come on by.
7:30 tonight and tomorrow night and then next weekend, 7:30 Friday and Saturday, and there is a matinee, Pay What You Wish, on Sunday the 10th of October, but there's not a matinee this weekend.
No, we always do a second Sunday matinee. Yeah.
Okay, good to know. Thank
you
for being here. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay
tuned.
Should I stay? Yeah, stay.